DW Africa Link.
In Cameroon, the polls have closed, the ballots are cast, and the West African nation stands at a crossroads. With President Paul Biya seeking an eighth term and a fragmented opposition struggling to unite, what does this election mean for the future of democracy in one of Africa's longest-standing regimes? Today, we unpack the voter turnout, regional tensions, youth disillusionment, and what's next as Cameroon faces a prolonged, tense wait for the election results.
When you check at the atmosphere around here, you realize that every Cameroonian is eager for a change. They need a third republic. Cameroonians are already tired being ruled under the same regime for over 40 years with nothing to show for. They need someone new. So all Cameroonians need is a change.
We have social media results which are highly manipulative. We have IT results and images which are highly manipulative, each twisting the narrative to favor their own rhetoric and their own candidates. That is very misleading. Cameroonians should be aware, and the international community should be aware. Let's wait for the results coming from the polling stations compiled by all the representatives of the various political parties and endorsed by them, also endorsed by and in the presence of the National Electoral Commission and in the presence of national and international observers.
I'm Kai Nebe. This is Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from across Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Cameroon's 2025 election, as usual, had President Paul Biya on the ballot. If he were to win an eighth term of 7 years, he would be almost 100 years old at the term's conclusion. And even though many analysts saw Biya's re-election as almost a foregone conclusion, it has not quite gone that way, with challenges emerging in the form of opposition presidential candidates and former allies. One of them is Joshua Osi, the leader of the Social Democratic Front, and his impression of the voting reflected a mix of disillusionment and hope.
Just as I voted, I realized that there is a lot of room for rigging. And I would like to mention here that we, at this time of the day, we already have more than 100 cases of rigging all over the territory that have come to my attention. And I think one of the worst cases is what is going on in Limbe in the southwest region, which is a shame that people should try to stuff ballot boxes with more than 100 ballots in favor of the candidate of the CPDM. It's a shame, but at the same time, it's kind of rewarding. It means that if they need to cheat, they duly understand that their candidate doesn't have the favors of the people.
Another challenger to Biya's rule is 76-year-old Issa Chiroma Bakari, who actually served in different Biya governments for decades. In some parts of Cameroon, voting results have been tight.
Ce jour est un jour fatidique pour moi. Dès lors qu'il consacre ma volonté.
This day is a crucial one for me, as it marks my determination to dedicate my entire life to the protection and promotion of our nation as a whole, and its people in particular. As for the Cameroonian people, I also pledge to awaken in every Cameroonian the values of honor, dignity and service, so that every citizen from the depths of their soul feels the need to serve this great and beautiful nation, so that it may once again become what it should never have ceased to be. This election is taking place at a time when the entire nation aspires to change. I say the entire nation aspires to change, and I would like to remind Cameroonians that change is something that must be built. Therefore, the people who desire this change must take part in building it.
So, how has the election gone, as vote counting is still underway? To discuss this further, I'm joined now by DW correspondents in Cameroon, Jean-Marie Ngongsong in Bamenda, and Moki Edwin Kinzeka in Yaoundé, who have seen the election unfold in very different contexts.
Pleasure that you guys are here. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. I would like to start off first off with Jean-Marie. Could you maybe tell us a bit, how did voting unfold where you were? What were some of the observations you noticed while you were there?
Well, the elections took place in the Northwest region, especially in the chief town of the Northwest region, Bamenda, here yesterday. There was no major incident. But it came at the height of a lockdown that was called earlier for like a month by the separatists to frustrate potential voters from participating in the election. So it came at the peak of that. There was no movement. People were indoors and people still succeeded to go and move and vote. There was also reports of shootouts in the some rural areas of the region, but people managed and trekked to the various polling centers and succeeded to cast their votes. But it was majority. There were situations of voter absences that were recorded in some polling stations, and I'm sure people abstained despite the fact that they registered because of the lockdown.
Okay. And on that, one of the things that I noticed was that the government officials who have spoken about how the election went on Sundays talked about how calmly the election had passed. Moki, was that something that you also noticed in Yaounde? Would you sort of agree to that?
People were very anxious yesterday in Yaounde as early as about 8 o'clock, before the polling stations were opened. Many people were going out to exercise their civic responsibilities to vote. In fact, especially the youths and the women, they were out very, very early. And they said they were so anxious about the process. They wanted to, you know, exercise their voting right. There was calm, there was serenity, no incidents were reported. But around 12 o'clock, there were already complaints coming up from many polling stations, especially in the city Yaounde. There were complaints of stuffing of ballot boxes, allegedly to support the CPDM candidate. There were support of manipulating the return sheets, reports of manipulating return sheets. There were reports of, you know, a lot of irregularities along the in many polling stations in Yaounde.
All right. And one of the people that actually also talked about that was, in fact, one of the opposition presidential candidates, Joshua Osei. He was quoted saying that when he voted, he said that he realized there were some opportunities for rigging and sort of cheating, although he also seemed to say that that in some ways this was almost a good sign, because it meant that that there was a feeling that the candidate who that there was not that much certainty as to who would actually win this election. Now, Moki, is that a mood that you can sort of describe, that there's a bit of uncertainty that perhaps President Paul Biya will not get the election he sort of wants, or at least not get all the votes that he believes that were coming to him?
Now, there is uncertainty because some political parties started publishing results or making known results that they were gathering from the polling stations across the country. And as the results were coming in, many of them indicated that Issa Chiruma, the main opposition leader who resigned from Biya's government and joined and became a candidate, was leading actually. At some moment in the day, his collaborators actually said he had won the elections. So it created some sort of panic and uncertainty among the ranks of the other political parties, especially the governing party, the CPDM party, that was also meeting. They called an emergency meeting in the evening in their own headquarters in Yaounde. But later on in the day, there were other reports, that is at about midnight yesterday, other reports indicating that there were changes, that the CPDM was leading. And the opposition started saying that it's because in the rural areas, in the hinterlands, they were able to manipulate the figures. The Minister of Territorial Administration, Paul Atanganji, immediately convened a press conference where he announced that the results that were shared by opposition parties and civil society groups were fake. He said the country should wait. Within 15 days, the Constitutional Council will be able to publish results. So there's anxiety, there's excitement. People want to know who their next president is, but a lot are very certain that it will still be Mr. Biya, because He has ruled for a long time. He is the one who manages all the state institutions. He has appointed people to all of those offices. So the outcome may not necessarily be the verdict of the ballot.
That's an interesting point you raise, Moki, because the time span of 2 weeks seems to be quite long to actually announce an election if it were to have gone as smoothly as at least the government is saying that it's gone smoothly. Now, Jean-Marie, if we can just come to you, how would you describe this, particularly in an area that you say also was suffering because of lockdowns? Would you say that there was actually an atmosphere of fear for the people that actually went and vote despite going out and voting?
Yes, I must say that chief town of the Northwest region, Bamenda, like elsewhere in the Northwest region, prior to the election, was already engulfed in an atmosphere of fear because people are scared to go out and vote for fear of identification. Even those who went out to vote had to look for something like a nose mask to cover their faces. And this has been a phenomenon because when they are identified, they can be followed to their homes and punished by separatist fighters. Yes, I must say that people's the intimidation and the fear started even from the registration process, given that the separatists have said anything, especially elections organized by the government of Yaoundé, is not accepted in the English regions of Cameroon. So they did not see reasons to go and massively register or enlist themselves in the electoral register.
Coming to you, Moki, how would we... one of the main things about Cameroon is that it's one of actually the world's youngest countries. There's a huge number of younger people, of course, which we've talked about before, the fact that there is a very old president who is on the ballot, and most of the candidates are also older candidates. So what is surprising for me is that there have been reports that the voter turnouts, even in cities that are considered relatively safe, has been quite low for younger people. Is that also what transpired?
No, I think that younger people are getting anxious. They really wanted to vote. They really came out in the polling stations that I saw. Because they think that they now think, following a lot of education that is carried out by civil society groups, by churches, and so on, they think that if they vote, things may change. That they're in the country where the president is above 90, where the Speaker of the National Assembly, who is the person who is like one of the toppest official, is above 80, where the president of the Senate is about 80, and all of them are, their health is not really very good. So this is a country where a lot of leaders are above 80 years old. The young one thinks it is time for them that they should go vote and have things changed. But at the same time, there's that fear that whenever they vote, nothing changes. That explains why some of the young people were reluctant. But education has been there. It was there. When you look at the number of people who came out to protect their votes when the counting was ongoing, they were young people. There were so many, even more than the number that voted. They came out to the polling stations and stood there, counted, and were using social media to share the results, to tell other young people who are the majority users of social media that, hey, this is time you should come out and let's defend the results that we've had. We've seen that Chiroma is winning. Defend the results. So the young people, they're very much involved. It is true, a lot of them, because the laws in Cameroon don't make it possible for them to vote. If you are not 20 years, you cannot vote. So many of them who are less than 20 could only come out to help protect the votes. They could not vote because the laws makes it impossible for some young people who are less than 20 to vote.
Okay, and it is quite fascinating for me also looking in on the elections from abroad, because of course the social media doesn't just stay inside Cameroon. These posts that you're talking about, the fact of where we saw young people actively going across multiple polling stations to actually observe and actively share the things online, is this something perhaps that has changed regarding previous elections?
Sure. It has really changed, because before these elections, the opposition candidates went out educating young people to use their telephones to share the results that the government claims cannot be released before 15 days. So the opposition educated young people, civil society educated young people to be able to use social media and share the results. Unlike in 2018, you know, they were sharing the results in 2018, they used the social media in 2018, but this time around, it was more. And they also used social media to bring to the limelight for Cameroonians to see cases of fraud. You are talking about stuffing of ballot boxes. These are some of the things that were seen on social media, filmed by young people. We're talking about manipulating return sheets. These are things that young people filmed and shared on social media with the impression that it will help to increase pressure, national and international pressure, for transparency to prevail in Cameroon's elections.
And Jean-Marie, if we can just come to you. We have talked about the mood that was there in Bamenda, but were there also some perhaps demonstrations of protest, perhaps passive or perhaps active demonstrations of protest regarding the vote itself in the run-up, or actually even on the day that you perhaps witnessed or that other people have witnessed?
The protest or demonstrations that have been recorded so far have been coming or noticed last night only from the young people. There's a particular polling center that many anticipated that the main ruling party, the CPDM, will win, but it was won with evidence from the social media by Issa Cheru, the party of Issa Cheruma Pakateri. So young people went off with demonstrations, chanting his name throughout the night, going around the neighborhood. And that alone, we also saw on social media polling ballot boxes stuffed with ballot papers uncovered in other areas in the Northwest region here, in allegedly from agents of the ruling party. So for now, everybody was allowed to vote. There was nothing like a voter's card destruction or barring people from vote, because maybe people did not show up to vote, and the few that came were allowed to vote.
Right. And this is more a question for both Jean-Marie and Moki, because, of course, one member who was not allowed to run for the presidency was Maurice Kamto. And I just want to know, sort of from an impression, like how much did this affect either the voter turnout or, in fact, the enthusiasm to vote? Or was this maybe something that perhaps had less of an effect than others maybe thought? Can we start with you, Jean-Marie?
I think that the fact that Maurice Kamto was ruled out from the race actually gave Issa Cheruma Bakari an easy ride, because the voters simply showed that they were looking for a more convincing alternative from the opposition, from the main party, and Issa Cheruma seems to have been the favorite. From what we have seen from social media and from even the momentum on the ground, if Kamto was there, I'm not sure the Issa Cheruma Bakari would have had this momentum on the ground. So I think that his disqualification gave Issa Cheruma an upper hand in the election.
I share the opinion that Jean-Marie just shared there, that his absence made Issa Cheruma so popular. But the issue too is that a lot of people had expected Kamto to say something, to tell them which candidate to support. And Kamto stayed quiet, said they should vote their opinions as their consciences lead them. But the president of the CRM party, where Kamto was before changing party to become a candidate, asked people to vote for Issa Cheruma, so he could explain also the fact that many people came out to support Issa Cheruma.
Okay, and just to point out, though, I mean, Issa Cheruma is not somehow a long-standing opposition leader. I mean, he has been within the Bia government for decades. It was only very recently that he chose to run as a presidential candidate. So, I mean, surely that must have also played on the minds of some of the people that, you know, okay, we're not voting for Bia, or we're not necessarily voting for Bia, but someone who has has deep ties, actually, with the ruling party. Is that not correct?
If I may start, a lot of people also said that it takes somebody who has been in the system to be able to destroy the system. So that's why they were going out for Issa Chiruma. But Issa Chiruma is a very inconsistent leader. You know, he has been in the opposition in the 90s. He was very strong and had a lot of following with Ni John Frundi of the SDF and a lot of Bello Buba also, a lot of them at the time. But when the opposition started being fragmented, Issa Chiruma decided to join the government and served in that government for 20 years. So when he took the government by surprise and resigned, you know, many people say, okay, here is a man who has been inside, who was within, who can help arrange things from within and to destroy even the bad things that were happening within the government.
Okay. And now just looking ahead, Jean-Marie, as we begin to wrap up, we're looking at basically the situation where we now have almost 2 weeks to wait until the actual winner of the election is announced. What actually happens now? Because we've had this big election that might or might not change the fate of Cameroon and particularly also the Anglophone region.
The first thing that will happen in Anglophone regions of Cameroon, especially after the elections, is that today we are experiencing the last day of the 1 month, 2 weeks lockdown. And people are talking about how they're going to go about their normal lives tomorrow. Henceforth, they have been at home, they have been away from work, they have lost financially, they have lost economically, they want to catch up. Given that Anglophones have seen pain for close to 9 years, they would not want to. I think that the conversations on the ground are not centering on what happens in Yaoundé, because they have already been having a real pinch of the pain of Anglophone crisis.
Okay, Jean-Marie, thanks very much for that. One place probably where this talk of the election will be louder perhaps is in Yaoundé, where you are, Moki. And on that, you know, has there been a shift in the mood from yesterday till today?
A lot of people have gone back to work, to their offices, to their farms, to their business places. But the population, especially young ones who are yearning for a change after what they call BS 43 years of stagnation, of rising cost of living and governance issues, say they will not let any opposition victory to be stolen this time around. So although there is apparent peace and serenity, they are still waiting for the results, for what would be called the results of these elections to be proclaimed, or for the trends to be made known. They say, although they doubt the electoral credibility, they will wait for the trends to be made known. And if their victory is stolen this time around, they will not accept.
DW's Cameroon correspondents in Bamenda, Jean-Marie Ngong-Song, and Edwin Moki-Kinjeka in Yaoundé, thanks so much for joining us.
Africa is changing. Don't get left behind. Tune in to Africa Link.
Now, before we sign off, let's hear from some of those that took part in the election in the Anglophone region of Bamenda.
It was not easy yesterday fulfilling my civic responsibility, but thank God I ended up doing so. That notwithstanding, being able to cast my ballot came at a cost. I had to trek over a kilometer to be able to do that exercise.
I think the conduct of the election was largely peaceful, but for the northern part of the country where we had some skirmishes, but I think everything went on well. For the first time, I saw young Cameroonians eager to vote and protect their vote.
Cameroon's election results are expected in 2 weeks, and of course, we at Africa Link will keep you updated. That's it for today's edition of Africa Link. Remember, you're not just a listener, but an integral part of our community. Your engagement is crucial in shaping the direction of our discussions and productions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. You can find all the Africa Link episodes on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. This episode was produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. I'm Kai Nebe. And until next time, it's bye for now.
for Minds.